Boker Tov, good morning. We are continuing with Parashat Bemidbar. Today's class will be for the Refuah, Shalamah V'Adukhanim, V'Khlalam, Shemdam R'chav V'Nashvan, and Amechal M'Kam Rifka, Sarah Mahamuni, Shalamah Sarah Yafa V'Dibar, V'Gav V'Dachav Rifka V'Dasler, Shalamah M'Nasar, Moshe M'Nchana Yafa V'Dibriyam, Yehudam M'Yafa Chaya, Sarah V'Tzichal V'Rachal V'Chana Simcha Ben Malka, Miriam V'Dachav V'Dibriyam, Miriam Chana L'Avodam V'Chasa V'Dachav 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 Hashem telling Moshe, Se'u et Rosh Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael, take a census of the whole of all of Am Yisrael, Mishpachatam, Levet Avotam, and from ages, Miben Esrim Shana V'Mala, from 20 years old and on, and older, V'chule V'chule, he goes on. And he goes through all the names, and he goes through all the tribes, and so on and so forth. We know that in general, right, we learn from the David HaMelech's mistake, we know in general, you're not allowed to count Jewish people. You're not allowed to count Am Yisrael. Right? So generally when they count, what do we usually do in the Torah when the Torah says to count? It's generally like giving half a shekel or giving something or counting al yedei mashu acher. By counting something else, you can count how many Jews there are. But they wouldn't count, they wouldn't be allowed to count the Jew directly. And I always get the question, why? Why can't I count the Jews? I want to know if I have a minyan in the room. Why can't I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? Why do I have to say, do we have a minyan? Yes, we have a minyan. Like, it's the same thing. At the end of the day, I'm counting up to 10 just with different words. So what's the difference? Why when I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, now is that different than when I indirectly count? And I want to explain to you the biggest chidush I've ever learned on this question. And I think it's so important to understand the reason behind it, because the reason behind the question, the reason behind the answer is so important. And it actually gives value to every single Jew. If you put a number on someone, now what happens? Now you limit them. Now you make them a 1. You make them a 2. You make them, this is your capacity. This is what you can do. You are able to be one person. You are able to be another person. But in Hashem's eyes, that's not how Hashem looks at the Jewish people. Hashem doesn't look at us that you're only able to cap yourself at this limit. Hashem gives us the ability to be able to reach the stars, to be able to reach Shamayim, reach the heavens, to be able to do unlimited amounts of mitzvah, to get as close to possible. You know, I was giving a class in halacha yesterday, and there was an elder man, and after I gave the class, it was a couple of halachot I was giving, he comes to me and he goes, "You made my life harder." So I said, "I made your life harder? I'm so sorry, what did I do?" So he goes, "I didn't know this before, now you told me this, now I have to do it." I said to him, I said, "I'm so sorry that I made your life harder. I said, I feel bad that you have this mentality. Because you think everything you have to do is a burden. When I try to teach people, I look at it in a different light. I look at it as everything you get to do is another opportunity. So when I get the zechut of teaching someone something new, it's what an opportunity. Now you have another opportunity. Another chance to connect to Hashem. Another way to get closer to Hashem. Another way to allow Hashem to give you that bracha." If that's the way you look at things, it'll make things so much different. This is an interesting story. But the point is that when a person looks at themselves that I'm just supposed to be this cap, I count myself, I'm this one person, I'm not supposed to be great, then you have the misconception of what you're supposed to be doing here in this world. Hashem doesn't give us life every single day just to be a simple person. No one is supposed to be a simple person. You have to be great in this world. You have to do amazing things. And you know what? I always think about to myself, what will define an amazing person? What will define someone who did amazing things in this world? How do you define it? If you had to think at the top of your mind of like an amazing person in this world, and someone that everyone remembers him by, who comes to mind? Rav Ovadia Yosef, you know? What? Huh? Tzadok. Okay, but he's still alive. I've never seen him. But someone who's passed, what gives him so much? Why do you remember Rav Ovadia Yosef? What was about Rav Ovadia Yosef? So I think, if you think about it, Rav Ovadia Yosef had 1 million people at his funeral. Why were there 1 million people at his funeral? Because every person who knew him, who knew of him, who knew about him, knew that he was greatness. Knew that he had something inside him that nobody else had. And I think the way you define someone's greatness is usually only understood how great he was after he leaves this world. Because most people, they don't know how much this person really does until he leaves the world and everyone sees, look at his funeral. Look at all these random people that are coming. Look at all these people that are coming to honor it. So what I dream for, and I think this is something that we should all live by, is not dreaming for Chas v'Shalom, the afterlife. You're not supposed to be working or doing Avodat Hashem, your service of God, for the next world. You're supposed to be doing it for this world. So that we serve Hashem to get close to Hashem in this world. That's the purpose. But one of my goals is that after 120 years, I'll be able to have lifted and built so many people in this world that they'll come after 120, and they'll come to my funeral after 120, and they'll say, do you know what your father did? Do you know what your brother did? Do you know what this person did? And so many people come, and you can have changed so many people's lives that nobody had even known about. That's greatness. Greatness is believing that you can do something that nobody else can do. Now, of course, I think it stems from something that I learned once. It's a very important ma'amar. I think it's from Rabbi Saul Salanter. He says a very important thing. He says one time he wanted to change the world. And he came out and he wanted to change the whole world. And he started the Musar movement. You know, we're learning Musar, motivation. And he realized after some time that I can't change the whole world. So he said, let me at least try to change my city. Let me try to change them and motivate them. And after some time he realized he couldn't even do that. Then later on he said, let me at least try to change my community. Some time passed, he couldn't even do that. He said, let me at least try to change my family. How big is a family? No, let me change my family. He worked and worked and he saw he couldn't even do that. And then he came to a conclusion in his elder years and he said, let me at least try to change myself. Let me at least try to work on myself. If each and every one of us had this perspective, if each and every one of us would work on ourselves to be great, then everyone would be great in this world. You wouldn't have to try to change someone else. If you thought you were great and you thought you were great and you thought you were great and you each worked on yourselves to be great, then no one has to work on other people because we're all great. If we all had this mentality that we can all be great because Hashem believes in us, because Hashem gives us that neshama back every single day, He gives us that soul every single day. Right? You remember my parable of the Lamborghini? You guys remember that one? Some people didn't hear, I'll say it again. There's this story I love to say with this idea, is there's a guy who has this Lamborghini and he falls in love with his car and this is his life. And one day his friend comes over and he says, do you mind if I take it for a ride? So the guy's like, look, I don't know, maybe this, that. He tries to make excuses. This is my best friend. This is my car. This is my this. At the end, he says, okay, fine. I'll let you go just around the corner. But you have to be very careful. He goes around the corner. He looks down at his phone for a second. He keeps driving. Boom. Huge crash. He gets into a car accident. He comes around the corner. He pulls back into the driveway. And the friend comes out screaming at him, what did you do? Are you crazy? You destroyed my car. Get out of here. He sends it to fixing, and you know when a car gets hit up, even when you fix it, it's still never the same again. He fixes it, 6 months pass by, hundreds of thousands of dollars he spent, comes back home, looks new, but it's not the same. And the friend comes over again, and he knocks on the door, and he says, I wanted to apologize for what I did. And I wanted to ask you for one more favor. Can you let me take the car for a spin again? The guy looks at him and says, you have 10 seconds to get off my property before I call the police. You have to let me take my car for a spin again. Do you know what you did? What's the nimshal? The lesson is, this is human beings. This is how human beings act. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like this. Hashem, every single day we make mistakes. Every single day we sin. Every single day we do things wrong. Still, what do we say in the morning? Moda ani lefanecha, thank you Hashem for giving me my soul back again and again and again. And He does it again. Why is He giving us the neshama, the soul back again? If we made mistakes and we sinned and we wronged God, why is He giving it back to us? It's a lesson, it's a message He's sending us. He believes that we can be great. Not we as a group, we as individuals. Every single individual has an opportunity to greatness. All you have to do is, like Rabbi Saul Salanter said, work on yourself. Be great within yourself. If every person works on themselves to be great, then all of Am Yisrael will be great, and then we'll bring B'ezrat Hashem the Mashiach Tzidkenu. I pray and hope that we take this message. We take the idea, you can't count a Jew. Why? Because when you count a Jew, you limit a Jew. You limit him from what he can be. We're not allowed to count a Jew. You can only count indirectly because a Jew can be great. A Jew can exceed just one. He can exceed just two. He's not a number. A Jew is unbelievable. A Jew, every single Jew who has a neshama, has the power and opportunity to be able to be someone great that nobody else was before. May we all take that. May we all run after that. And may we all be great in the eyes of Hashem. Have a great day, everyone.